Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, once upon a time, there were three trees growing on a mountainside. And each one of them had a dream of what they would become. The first tree, he dreamed about being this just glorious treasure box that would hold gold and jewels and precious things. The second one, he dreamed one day that he would be this magnificent ship that would carry kings across vast oceans. And the third one, he just had a dream of staying right where he was, that he might grow tall and point everyone to the gloriousness of God. Well, several years later, some woodworkers came by and cut those trees down. The first one, he became, much to his disappointment, he became a feeding trough for animals, brokenhearted to become something so ordinary. The second one, he became a small little ship, not fit for seas, but fit for small ponds and oceans, small ponds and seas. And the last one, probably the most brokenhearted of all of them, he was fitted just to be two boards set aside and forgotten. You know, I think all of us, we have these big, grand dreams of what we'll become. And we kind of see ourselves as a hero of our stories. We think of ourselves in just incredibly big, magnificent ways. But this morning, as we continue in our series in Ephesians, I want to show you what God desires for us to be. What God wants to shape and to fashion us into. And the truth is, it might be a little bit different than what we want and what we desire. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 13.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting it aside in his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you which were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians 2, 13 through 22.
Thank you, sir. So as we dive into this passage, it's important to remember that when Paul is speaking to those churches that are in and around Ephesus, he's speaking to a very culturally diverse group of people. And he spent the first beginning of this letter, the first two chapters that we read, talking to this and explaining how God is making into one family two people who were dynamically opposed to one another at one time, the Jews and the Gentiles, coming into one family. So the early church is kind of like this. It's kind of like taking two rival gangs and saying, hey, listen, because of what Jesus has done for you, you're now going to be one family. Can you imagine the rough things that might have happened as they're trying to become one family? Both, again, opposed to one another, hating one another at some point. And now, because of what Jesus has done, Paul's saying, you have come together into one family. Can you imagine the amount of humility that it had to take? I think about the Jewish people, and I think about them watching their Gentile brothers eating some kind of pork and going, wait a minute, you can't eat that. That's not kosher. But then having to go, no, wait a minute. We're one family. It's okay. I can be the one who subscribes to the dietary restrictions, but they don't have to because they're free in Christ. Or I can imagine the Gentiles looking at those Jews and saying, oh my gosh, dude, you're so legalistic with this idea that we have to pray at certain times during the day. Man, can I just let my prayer life be my prayer life and your prayer life be your prayer life? Sound familiar? Sounds a little bit like us, doesn't it? We still have some of these issues within the church. It's hard to get over the prejudices that we have. It's hard whenever we disagree and we don't think the same way. Maybe it's a personality type. We have different personalities. It's hard for us to gel together. But that's exactly what Paul is saying here, that that's what the church is supposed to do. And listen, there are some of you in here this morning that you hear me talking like this and you go, that's exactly why I don't come to church. That's why I don't like being part of the church. Because I don't want to come in here and somebody tell me how I'm supposed to do this and I shouldn't do that, right? And I get it. I absolutely get it. I think a lot of us probably get it. We understand. There are people sometimes that we come in here and we're like, I really don't want to see them today. I would rather not bump into them, right? I get it. I absolutely understand. Church is messy. It's messy. In fact, story, one time I said that in a group of people. We were in a small group one time. And I said, listen, guys, church is messy. And oh my goodness. You should have seen the storm that that created. There were people like, no, church is tight and nice. And I'm like, I don't know what Bible you're reading, right? Like, but that is not the way church is. And man, did it cause a firestorm. And that group actually divided. And then we had to go through reconciliation. It was crazy, right? All because I said church is messy. But that's the truth. Church is messy. It's not a nice little tight little box that we keep together. In fact, I think this is what keeps most people, if I'm honest, away from the church. I was doing some research for this message, and I found that in last year's Gallup poll, in the 2025 Gallup poll, it said that most Christians surveyed believe that church attendance is important. They believe it's important. But the reality is that only 30% of those people polled actually attended weekly. And I couldn't help but think, maybe this is the case. They're like, I just don't want to see that person today. I just don't want to be around that person. And that's definitely what's going on in Ephesus. And if you read most of the New Testament letters, that's exactly what's happening. They're having a hard time getting along, becoming that one family, but that's what Paul says that they are. And the truth is we actually don't even really understand exactly what Paul's talking about by these two people groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. We have a really difficult time understanding how dynamically opposed they were to one another. Look back at verse 14. I want to show you something. Paul says that Jesus has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now, we might not think anything about the way that Paul words that, right? We might be like, oh, that's nice. Jesus took down a little partition that divided the Jews and the Gentiles, right? But every Jewish person who read that, they knew exactly what Paul was talking about. They knew exactly what he was saying. Because you see, in the Jewish temple, in the construction of the Jewish temple, there was a low stone railing called the temple sorig. And that went around the interior of the outer courts. Now, the outer courts is the only place that Gentiles could come as they want, if they wanted to worship the one true God. But they had to stay in the outer courts. They couldn't come in to the actual temple grounds. So this railing kept them out. It was like a dividing line. If you crossed over that line, it meant big trouble. In fact, this is where we read in Acts 21 when Paul is actually accused by the Jews of bringing a Gentile in. Ironically enough, is an Ephesian brother. But they thought that he had brought this guy past this line, and they were about to kill him. They were going to kill Paul. They were going to stone him. But I want you to catch what this stone wall said. Because in it was engraved this. This was in Greek and in Latin for any of those who were Gentiles. No foreigner is to enter within the balustrade and the embankment around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. This is the wall that Paul is talking about. He's saying Jesus has torn down that wall. Now, could you imagine this? Could you imagine if on the front door when you came in, And you choose and pick whatever you want, right? But let's just say that we had a sign out there that said, hey, listen, no Democrats allowed. No Republicans. No illegal aliens. You put whatever. No law enforcement. If you come in this door or you go in the one on the front, no matter what, you can expect death. Could you imagine that? That's what we're talking about. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying Jesus has destroyed that barrier. And then he goes on. He doesn't just say that he's destroyed that barrier, but he says that you together. Now, I really hate sometimes the Greek language because I wish it was Texan. Because we can translate that, y'all. All right? So when he says you together, he says y'all, okay? Obviously, we know what that means. We're Texans. We get it, okay? But he says y'all. And when he says that, he says y'all are being made one. These two people who hated each other, centuries of rivalry and hated one another, they're becoming one, Jews and Gentiles together. And then to hammer this idea that they're becoming one, Paul uses this incredibly poignant metaphor. And he says this, that they are becoming a holy temple in the Lord. So think about that. Jesus hasn't just obliterated the wall that divided them, but he's now saying you are becoming the temple of God. The very thing that the Jews kept the Gentiles away from, he's saying, no, y'all are both becoming that very thing, the place where God's presence dwells. And so to begin his metaphor, he does this crazy thing where he says, hey, all of you are equal. He does this in a greater degree even in Romans, but he does this at the beginning of Ephesians. He says, all of you are equal. You're all on the same playing field. And we looked at this last week, right? You might remember that he said, all of you who have sinned, that's everyone, you are dead. You cannot do anything for your salvation. But through God and his grace, all of those who would trust in what Jesus has done are now included into the family of God. So he levels the playing field. Everyone is equal. That's what he goes on to say a little bit later. He says, for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So Jews and Gentiles alike, they have access to God not through the law, not through circumcision, not through the family that they were born into, but they have access to God through their faith in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's what all of us have access to God through, is through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's about to kind of take this metaphor a little bit further. Since everyone is equal and we've all been included into the family the same way through God's grace, none of us have got there by our own merit. He now lays out the steps for how this temple is being made that God is making for his presence. So look with me back at the text. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So Paul says the first step that God took in building this temple for his presence is that he laid a secure foundation. He laid a secure foundation. Now listen, I am no architect, but I would venture to guess that if you want to construct a sturdy building, you have to start with a good foundation. You have to have a good foundation. I mean, that literally is what holds everything else up, right? You can't go in and just start putting studs up into the dirt. Doesn't work that way. You got to have a good foundation that's laid. Jesus talks about this in the Gospels. You might remember this parable that he told. He talked about two men, one man who built his house on the sand. I think we all understand that's not a good foundation, right? Listen, when I go to the beach and I build my sandcastles, that's not a very good foundation. You know why I know that? Because when the tide comes in, it washes it away. Not a very good foundation. But then Jesus says the other man, he built his house on the rock, which is a strong and it's a sturdy foundation. And then Jesus says this, and those of our kids who went to kids camp, they know this, they've heard this, that he says this, those who hear my words and put them into practice, they are like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And that's exactly what the apostles and the prophets, that's what they laid for the church, a foundation that was built off of Jesus's life, Jesus's teaching, and Jesus's death and resurrection. And I really want to encourage you to try something. I want you to try this week, okay? I want you to go home, and I want you to read through some of the New Testament letters. Maybe find one of the smaller ones. That's fine, okay? But find one of the smaller ones. And I want you to see, from the apostolic teaching of those letters, I want you to see how often you can find a corresponding statement or idea that Jesus himself made in the Gospels. You're going to be surprised by it. I mean, I think about the book of James, and it's like I'm reading the Jesus' teaching at the Sermon on the Mount. It's like it's almost like word for word. It's crazy how James takes that, but it makes sense, right? Because of what Jesus is saying. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then Paul goes on and he says this. He says, Jesus himself is the cornerstone. So we have the foundation that's been laid, the foundation of the apostolic teaching built on the life of Jesus himself. But then Paul says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Now, in ancient construction, the cornerstone was used by builders to ensure that the entire construction was going to plan. They would place that cornerstone where it was supposed to be, and then they would make sure that it was shaped perfectly, that it was exactly consistent the way they wanted it, and then they would stack every other stone up against it. It was the guide for all the other stones. It was a measurement for every single one of the other stones that would be laid. So catch what Paul's saying. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus himself, not tradition, not a church denomination, not a pastor, not a leader. None of those things. It's Jesus that's the cornerstone. So everything needs to be measured against Jesus. So that means in our church, our missions giving, our youth ministry, our kids ministry, our groups, how well are they doing at becoming more like the cornerstone? How well are they doing at becoming more like Jesus? And Paul says it's from him, from Jesus, this cornerstone, that the rest of the temple is being joined together and growing. And the word Paul uses here for joined together, it's a compound word in the Greek. And it's only used twice in all of the New Testament, both times here in Ephesians, actually. But it's a compound word of three different words in the Greek. The first word is syn, S-Y-N, which means to join closely. The second word is harmos, which means a joint. And then finally is lego, which means reason. So if we kind of put that together and we try to translate it correctly, it would be this: reasonably joining together. And that's exactly what Jesus, as our cornerstone, that's exactly what he does with us, his church. That's exactly what he does. He fits us together reasonably, carefully, and thoughtfully. He knows what he's doing by putting us together. He knows exactly what he's doing. Remember, Paul is talking to y'all. So when we talk about the temple here, we talk about the structure, it's not just a single individual. It is y'all. Because we know if we saw a single stone laying on the ground, we would go, wow, what an incredible structure. We wouldn't do that, right? It's multiple stones together that make up a building, a structure, an edifice, whatever you want to call it. Listen, church, while our culture glorifies independence, that one little stone, the New Testament is clear. We are created for interdependence. We need each other. We need each other. We need one another so that we can grow in Christ. There is no such thing as an isolated Christian. There's no such thing. If you came in here this morning thinking, oh, I'm just going to listen to the message, that's it. Sorry. There's no such thing as somebody who just sits, takes in that, and doesn't have other people involved in their life to shape them and to form them into what Jesus wants. I love what one of the other commentators that I read said. He explained that once that building, the builders got the cornerstone in the right place, exactly where they wanted it, that they would haul in these giant rough-cut stones, and they would move it in, they would move them to the building site and kind of get them there, and then they would start cutting away and smoothing away at those stones. And then they would lay them on the foundation and, of course, measuring them against the cornerstone and determine if they were perfect as they stacked them on top of each other. They would do what's called the thumbnail test. So as they stacked them on one another, they would then take their thumbnail and they would run them through the grooves that kind of met in between the two stones where the stones were stacked on top of each other. And if they felt anything gritty, if they felt any resistance, They realized they needed to smooth out that stone again. They needed to smooth it back so that it was perfect. They didn't want anything jagged. They wanted it to be perfectly polished. So when Paul says the church is being joined together, it meant that these stones, whose edges aren't quite aligned, they're still a little bit rough around the edges, they're not quite smooth enough, that they're being sanded and they're being smooth so they can become one united and seamless whole. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. We are these stones. We are these stones. The Apostle Peter says as much in his letter. Listen to what he says. As you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house. This is what it means to be the church. It's where we're refined by God and shaped by him as we do life together in community. He is making us more like Jesus as we are with one another, as we spend time together. And according to Paul, that's the second step of the place where God's presence is going to dwell, the temple that he's creating. He is joining these various stones together. And sometimes, maybe a lot of times, that process is uncomfortable. It's difficult because, let's be honest, sometimes we don't like each other, right? Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Sometimes those personalities, they conflict. I get it. Sometimes we aren't even as compassionate as we should be, even though we know the Holy Spirit is leading us to be, even though we know what he's trying to teach us and show us. But through all of that, God is using those circumstances with one another. He's taking the trials and the frustrations in our relationships with one another to shape us. He's making us who he wants us to be, and he's making us something beautiful, a temple where his presence dwells. This is why part of the mission statement of Community Fellowship says this, that as a family of faith, we are growing together. We're growing together. We're not growing separately on our own by ourselves. We're growing together. We're doing this together because we realize that we need each other. We need each other to become who God wants us to be, even as individuals, not even just as the church, but as individuals. We need each other. And I just want to ask a question. I just want to kind of put this out there. How does this happen if, like we saw earlier, 70% of the church isn't gathering weekly? How does that happen? How can we become who God wants us to be if we aren't gathering faithfully with the people in this church? And listen, no way am I saying you have to be here every Sunday morning. This is not like a, you better be here, right? That's not what I'm doing. But if you are not regularly, through the week, gathering with people, Sunday morning or not, gathering with people to share what's going on in your life, your struggles, your sins, the things that you're rejoicing about, the things that God's been doing in your life, then we're missing it. How are we supposed to be able to be shaped into the image of Jesus if we're not doing this with other people? That's how he does it. That's how he makes us more like himself. And listen, before you kind of just write that off and you're like, oh, Pastor James, you're full of it. You just want church attendance so you can have a little mark beside it or whatever. I want you to see what the last step that Paul says about us as a temple. Look at verse 22. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For centuries, the temple in Jerusalem, it was viewed by the Jews as a place where God's presence uniquely dwelled. They believed that he was in the Holy of Holies and that he resided and existed in that place. In fact, they would come to the temple so that they could worship. But here, Paul is saying that God's presence is no longer centered in any building that's made by human hands. Instead, God now dwells in his people. But catch the important word, together. Together. When we gather together, there's something unique and different because we are God's dwelling place. I don't know about you, but I grew up and it was kind of this idea that when you get to the church, like that's where God's presence is. No, church, we bring the presence of God into this place. He lives inside of us, so we bring him together, but there's something unique and special and incredible that he does when we gather together. It's amazing what he will do when we get together. This is why it's so important that every single person in the body be together. It's not just a box that we check. We're not spectators. This is something that we are participating in. We are participating in God building a temple that allows his very presence to dwell. Just think about that for a second. The God who created everything, he desires to dwell in his people. That's amazing. That's an incredible truth. But listen, look at this final step, because it takes us participating. He's laid the foundation. It's already been laid. The gospel is the foundation, right? And then we know he's fitting us together. He's forming us together as those stones. But this last part, we have to choose. We have to choose to become a place for God's presence to dwell. That's our responsibility in this. So here's a real question. When you come into this place, what are you bringing that might welcome his presence here? What are you bringing? It's not about what you get. Please hear me, church. If you're coming to get, you have a wrong mindset. Church is about us coming to give. We give to one another. And it may be this. It may be that you see that brother who you had a text conversation, you know he's going back to his oncology doctor. He's going to see him this week. And you know, man, as soon as I see him, I want to just hug on him and I want to pray for him that he would experience the presence and the peace of God as he goes to that appointment. Or it may be that you just found out that you're a grandmother and all you want to do is come in and sing songs of adoration to God because you know what that's going to do? That's going to encourage other believers around you to recognize that our praise and our worship, fellas, is our songs. That actually is us declaring the thankfulness that we have towards God. And it encourages other brothers and sisters to do the same. Or maybe it's you've heard a story about a brother or sister, and you said, man, that's not the way that we're supposed to live. And you take them to the side, and you have a conversation with them. Hey, I heard this about you. Is this true? And it may be that you have to rebuke them. But that's what it means to become this beautiful temple that God is wanting us to be. This holy temple, as Paul refers to it here. And that word holy, it means to be set apart. It means to be different and distinct. We don't look like the rest of the world, biting and clawing for power and position. No, when we gather together, we're looking for ways to serve and to love one another. Let me tell you about one I just heard this morning. It's incredible. There is a couple who wanted to care for another person in this church because they're a little bit older and they are trying to mow their 5-acre yard. And this couple wanted to bless them and take care of that for them. That's what it means to be the church. That's what it means to love and to serve one another. Listen, the world outside has all sorts of opinions about us as the church. All sorts of hurts and all sorts of disappointments. And some of those, if we're honest, they're valid. Because we haven't been perfect as the church. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe as you've come in, you've got questions, you've got hurts, you've got disappointments. Listen, there's nothing that would please Pastor Ronald, Pastor Philip, or myself than for you to come and talk to us. Because again, though some of those are valid. They're valid hurts and concerns, and we want to talk with you about them. We want to be able to love you in the midst of them. In the story of the three trees, each tree had a glorious idea of what it would become. And then each of them was disappointed by what the woodworkers made them to be initially. The one who became a feeding trough for animals, he had wanted to become a treasure box to hold gold and jewels and some of the richest treasures the world had ever seen. But instead, he held the greatest treasure that would ever be known as Mary laid Jesus into him that first night. The second tree, he had wanted to become this majestic ship that would carry kings across the seas. And instead, he held the King of Kings and his disciples as they sailed across the lake. And the last tree, all he had wanted to do was just to grow strong and to point others to the gloriousness of God. But he seemed to be forgotten, laid as a pile of wood to the side. But early one morning, He was fashioned together as a Roman cross, carried by a man beaten so badly you could barely recognize him. And then nailed to the tree, he was lifted up to die for the sins of all mankind. That tree's desire to point to God became an even more realized thing than he ever could have imagined. And do you realize what each of those trees became? They became a place that housed the very presence of God. The presence of God in them. As a church, that's what God is wanting for us together, to become a temple that houses his presence, that when people walk in, they feel it. They know he's here. They don't even have to ask anything. They feel his presence from the love that's between us, the way that we care for one another, the way that we take care of one another and love each other. There's no doubt. The way that we talk to each other, the way that we encourage each other. But I think like those trees, that looks a lot different sometimes than what we imagine. It looks a lot different than what we kind of think of in our head that the church is supposed to look like. But I pray this morning that you would allow him to be the one that shapes us. You would allow him to be the one that smooths off your rough edges, that makes you into what you're supposed to be within this community. And I pray as a church that we would commit to do that. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray for each of us. God, that there may be people in this very room that are sometimes difficult for us. People that maybe we avoid. God, I pray that you would help us to see that those are exactly the ones that you want us to be in relationship with. God, because they are smoothing us out in our rough places. God, would you make us more like your son through one another? As we gather together, as we try to become a place where your presence dwells among us. God, that those who are lost that come in, those who don't know Jesus, that they would be able to experience his love just from walking in these doors because of your people gathered together, your people becoming the temple that we are created to be. Well, Father, but most importantly, I pray that we would magnify Jesus in this place, that his name and his name alone would be the one that's lifted up. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.